Welcome to this special episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. We'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And so we thought we'd get together and talk a little bit about Christmas.
And Happy Hanukkah. And
well, Hanukkah's already over.
Is it?
Yeah, so you got to say Happy Belated Hanukkah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, see, that's what happens when you don't pay attention to the calendar.
Well, so what's left? Kwanzaa?
Kwanzaa, I can't remember when Festivus is.
What's that? What's Festivus?
Oh, Festivus is from Seinfeld. You know, when you get the metal pole out, you have the airing of grievances and the feats of strength. But I think Festivus has already passed as well.
Okay, well, let's just concentrate on Christmas.
That sounds like a plan, because Okay. Obviously we probably barely researched Christmas to begin with, and if we get too far out into some of these other holidays, we're really going to get confused.
Yeah. Well, I went to whychristmas.com, and the reason I went to whychristmas.com was because I thought, what type of website?
You thought, why not?
What? No. Well, I thought, what type of website is this going to be, honestly? Whychristmas.com?
Yeah.
It could have gone like a multiple of different directions.
True.
It could have been like, I hate Christmas. Why Christmas?
Right.
It could have been, you know, like super, super evangelical. It could have gone any direction you wanted. But I clicked on it anyway. You know why I clicked on it?
Why?
Because it came out first in Google.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Okay. Sorry. So second in Google was Who Christmas, and that was just basically a site for the Who's from the Grinch Stole Christmas.
No, it was an ad, actually, just trying to sell me some Christmas songs.
Oh, okay.
Which, they did guarantee delivery before Christmas Day. So, I mean, you know, given it's only 4 days away, I thought it was pretty good, and they had a 20% off
now,
offer.
See, here we go again. You're letting out the secrets, because we're going to release this 2 days before Christmas. So we got to pretend like this is 2 days before Christmas.
Well,
I think it's 2 days before Christmas that we're going to release this.
Okay.
Maybe it's like three. I don't know.
All right.
Once again, we didn't research that that well.
Okay. Well, anyway, I went to whychristmas.com because why not? Their definition of Christmas, which I actually kind of agree with, is that Christmas is celebrated to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, who Christians believe is the Son of God. The name Christmas comes from the Mass of Christ. A Mass service, sometimes called Communion or Eucharist, is where Christians remember that Jesus died for us and then came back to life. Now, I like that, all in a nutshell right there. Like 20 seconds, you can either agree with it, not agree with it, blah, blah, blah. But that's Christmas, as most people understand Christmas.
Sure. Well, couldn't they have got away with the whole Jesus is the reason for the season, just had like one little picture there and just been done with it? I mean, a one-shot webpage, go on GoDaddy, it's like $10. You put a picture on there, a little meme, and you're done.
No.
Oh.
I think the reason for that is, like I said, from that description they had on the website, I think it is both informative in terms of explaining the background of why Christians celebrate Christmas, but also giving across a soft evangelical message, which isn't kind of punching you in the face and asking you to donate $29.99 for a miracle prayer cloth or touching the screen to be saved. So I thought that was good. I didn't look at anything else on the website, to be honest. But you know, there is some counter to the whole Christian thing about Christmas, because, you know, the pagans get an early nudge in.
Yeah.
They're in everything. I mean, whenever you look at any holiday anywhere in the world, it's like, but the pagans, it's like, oh my goodness, I mean, these people, I mean, do you not understand what the word pagan means?
Well, it's a non-belief in the Abrahamic God.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't look it up. I just thought you might know.
Oh, well, we're going to stick with that definition.
All right, then. Well, anyway, they've got a hand in everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, with December 25th, the actual day we celebrate Christmas as Christians or around the world, and also actually a bunch of the customs we've come to associate with Christmas actually evolved from pagan traditions celebrating the winter solstice.
Oh.
Now,
which I believe the winter solstice this year is on the 21st.
Well, I wanted to introduce an immediate stump the shepherd thing here.
Explain
the winter solstice.
Shortest amount of daylight in the year in the northern hemisphere.
Is it?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
100%.
100%.
Okay. Well, according to the interwebs, it's the solstice, the time date twice each year where the sun reaches its maximum or minimum declination. Basically, the longest, shortest days is calculated by the gap between dawn and dusk.
Yeah.
So I think you explained it easier.
Yeah, I explained it easier. Yeah. I mean, the summer solstice, of course, has the most daylight, and the winter solstice has the least amount
of
daylight.
Why don't they just say that?
Yeah, it's a lot of words to put on the calendar.
Well, it is. I mean, like, the winter solstice this year is roughly around December 22nd. Now, the reason they say kind of it's around is because, you know, obviously the planets and the sun don't necessarily follow our, you know, 24-hour a day, you know, Roman calendar system. You know, it might be a little bit of an overlap.
They don't have good Wi-Fi, so they don't follow everything. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean,
or maybe they don't subscribe to the right Twitter accounts.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the worst thing ever. You know, like Wikipedia, right? Which is normally my go-to for basic bitch content on anything.
There is absolutely zero errors in that data.
What would you think they would describe if they had to do the most basic breakdown of the winter solstice?
I'm going to go back with the shortest amount of daylight in a day for the
year. I would have even gone like shortest day kind of thing.
Shortest day.
Because most people...
Little day.
Most people have.
Little is a shorter word than shortest, so...
Midget day?
Dwarf
day?
Small day?
Small day.
Midget tiny day?
Yeah, let's go with midget day. Anyway, so this is what they describe the winter solstice as, right? So like I said, Wikipedia... My go-to, I thought, all right, I've looked up Christmas. I'm looking up, you know, some of the other stuff behind Christmas.
Was there a link on Wikipedia when you were looking up Christmas to take you to the winter solstice? Or did you actually have to take that horrible step and type into the computer, into the search thing to look up winter solstice next?
I don't know. It just came up on the screen. So anyway.
So probably you didn't type it in. Because if you'd have had to type that in, you'd have probably had to take a nap in between.
No, I did type in winter solstice.
Oh, okay. So you took a nap in between.
I did, yeah. But anyway, it says, this is their definition of the winter solstice. As, hiemal or hibernal solstice that occurs when one of the Earth's poles has its maximum tilt away from the sun.
Okay. Makes sense.
It's a bit over the top, isn't it?
Yeah. What about the flat earthers, though?
Well, do they celebrate Christmas?
No. Do they celebrate the solstices?
Whoa.
Because that one's kind of hard to argue with.
So anyway, going back to Christmas. Flat earthers, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Unless, of course, you're all atheists, in which case we hope you celebrate one of the holidays that has already passed.
Yep. Probably Festivus.
Now, you know, growing up in England, Christmas was both lovely and both disappointing. Because we didn't have the commercial power you have over here.
Oh.
Right?
So you didn't have Santa Claus drinking a Coke. Petting a polar bear.
Well, we had Santa Claus, but it was like almost like a communist version of Santa Claus. You know, it's like, yeah, he's out there, he's delivering gifts, and, you know, he's got some reindeer, one of them's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he's got a red nose and stuff, and, you know, if all you get, you know, is a bag of sand in your Christmas stock, and then be grateful for it, you know. And that was it. We didn't have any commerciality. I mean, that's the thing. I remember, I guess, in retrospect, but there was no commerciality about Christmas. I mean, you'd had, like, Christmas advertisements and stuff on TV. You'd have Christmas movies playing, but it wasn't heavily commercialized. And yet...
So it wasn't like when Hershey's Kisses, for instance, have had the same advertisement for years with the little Hershey's Kisses in the ring and the bell, you know, and they're supposed to represent each bell, and they're playing We Wish You Merry Christmas. And then all of a sudden this year they decide, well, we better change that. It might offend somebody. So it wasn't like that.
What are they playing now?
I think they still have the original version, but now they have a new version. I read something on the interwebs about that. Don't remember exactly what was going on with it, but for the first time in whatever it is, like 20-some-odd years, they changed the commercial just to, you know, throw some kind of virtue signal out there that, you know, they know that there's different stuff going on, whatever it may be, but they changed that. I mean, there's talking about the commercialization of Christmas. I mean, there was always those kind of built-in Christmas commercials that haven't changed forever. There's the Hershey's Kisses. There's the one where the guy comes home from, I don't know if it's college or whatever, and he goes in and he's making coffee, and the whole house wakes up because he's making coffee, and everybody, you know, they open their eyes and they're smelling, and they smell the coffee, and they come down. They're like, oh, you're here. You're home. Oh, we're happy. And it's like, oh, you know, it's Folgers coffee. Yeah. There were two or three others like that that you just saw every year, and you're like, oh, it's Christmas time because here's that commercial again. And it literally, they just regurgitate them every single year.
Yeah.
Same commercials.
Now, I mean, obviously Hallmark and you know, other brands, organizations have pretty much owned Christmas for maybe 30 or 40 years or whatever. And, you know, a lot of the commercials you get on TV around Christmas time, you know, they try and go with this false kind of, oh, let's all be lovely to each other, give a gift for Christmas and all this. But everything is trying to sell you something. I mean,
yes,
there is no, There is almost nowadays literally no Christmas advert or anything where it's not trying to big up somebody or something, some company, to try and sell you something. So when you started off, when I read you the definition of Christmas, when you said Jesus is the reason for the season, I really don't think that anybody, you know, any TV network or advertisement really pushes that message.
No,
I mean, it's not.
No, they don't.
Hershey's is the reason for the season. Coca-Cola is the reason for the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
20% off for next week is the reason for the season.
Yeah.
Black Friday is the reason for the season.
Jesus would love you to buy this 4K 72-inch TV at 30% off at Best Buy.
Yes, if Jesus was going to buy a TV, he would buy this specific TV from this specific store.
I'm pretty sure he's got 8K at this point. And he's got the new Xbox Series X, and he's playing like Modern Warfare with 65.
Well, that's an interesting question. So, is Jesus playing an Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5?
He's got both.
I know he's got both. We know he's got both.
Yeah.
But Jesus likes one more than the other one, right? So,
Xbox.
I think so
definitely
too.
Xbox.
You know, just for the extra functionality.
Well,
of it.
I think because of Xbox Live Gold, and also now with Xbox with the Ultimate Package, where they bring in the all of the games from the Electronic Arts thing.
Yeah,
what
do you call it? Backward compatibility.
Oh,
I mean, you know,
Jesus
likes some Lego
Xbox,
Indiana Jones,
Jesus,
something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
You almost feel like Xbox is sponsoring us, and man, we love a
Series
X. They're not.
But
Jesus plays an Xbox.
But Sony, if you want to send us a PlayStation 5
each,
not just one between us, because we live in different houses. I know,
yeah.
I know some of our listeners sometimes when they hear sporadic clips of the show think we live together. We don't. The Shepherd has a wife, I have a girlfriend. We both have dogs, which we're...
And we both have Xboxes.
Not really happy about.
So Sony, convert us.
Yeah.
Convert us, Sony.
Send us some PS5s. But
other
than that, I mean, God and his good son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has an Xbox Series X. Convince us otherwise.
Yep.
So
he didn't get the Series S, right? I mean, he wants that physical digital media, or the physical media putting it in there. He's not downloading his games.
Well, I think he bought those ones to the angels.
Yeah, so he could just bless those. Like turning water into wine, he could just bless the Series S's and say, I will bless you
games. He set one as his home Xbox and the rest of them.
Oh, they're sharing.
Oh, sharing. Oh,
that's smart. Smart. I believe that was, I think that's in like...
Ephesians?
Yeah, Ephesians.
22,
like,
12
something like that. That makes sense.
So anyway, I know this has a huge impact on the history of Christmas in England and Europe. A lot of the Europeans actually adopted, you know, the pagan approach to Christmas and, like, Festival of Lights and all their stuff. You know, they had the trees, all the lights go up, giving you the gifts.
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to thousands of years. But the definition, like we said, of Christmas, you know, is really Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's what we want to keep with it. Because, you know, when it comes to Christmas music, it's not just talking about, you know, I don't remember any hymns or music talking about pagans. It's not like...
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, you've got your secular music, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah. And then you've got your traditional Christian music, you know, Oh Come All You Faithful and all those good songs, right? But yeah, you don't have any pagan Christmas songs.
It'd be a hard intro though, wouldn't it?
That would. And let's be honest, this song would be terrible.
Well, I mean
you could get the best songwriter, the performers, it'd still be a terrible song.
Well, I mean, especially if you go off that Wikipedia definition of the winter solstice I described earlier, if you're going to base a song on that, that's going to be a terrible song.
Man, that'd be a tough one to try to write a song about winter solstice.
I don't care. Well, I think you can do that, but...
Oh, I'm sure you could.
I think with those
lyrics... We're not creative enough to write that song.
I don't think with those lyrics coming from Wikipedia, you could do it. No. I don't care if you're Muse or, like, even if you're Morrissey, I don't think you can come up with a good
thing
about the tilt of the earth.
Yeah.
And
not going to happen.
Now, talking about music, I know you get, like, a big gushy girl at some Christmas songs.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And there's a couple of songs you and I both share, which, like, you know, we love them and they make us feel very Christmassy, but they also make us feel very spiritual. Now,
sure,
there's a little bit of an offshoot here. Our favorite Christmas song, what is it?
What is it?
What is it?
What is it?
Oh, Holy Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Anyway, they played that to a bunch of atheists.
See what I did there? I made you sing it. Well, I didn't want to have to sing it.
I thought you always tried to stop me from singing, but no, they played that song to a bunch of atheists, and again, this is absolutely 100% science. And if it had any impact on their brain, right, in terms of the dopamine receptors and all that stuff. And when it hit that part in the song where it's the fall on your knees, that it had the same response, you know, in terms of people who were actually Christians and stuff, that they felt the power of that music. And they actually did it in the English language and played it to people who, you know, didn't know English, but it was just that part of the song. It's that meaning of that part of the song which hit people, and it had exactly the same reaction in the audience, whether you believed in God or you didn't believe in God.
But you know, there's going to be some scientific explanation behind that. It's going to be the frequency of the sound and this, that, and the other. And...
Well, they actually disproved that.
Oh, okay.
Because they disproved that, that it was actually, they switched the lyrics. And I don't know if it's Pingu or... it's some European cartoon about penguin. Anyway, they put in lyrics from that song in it, but the people who were singing it when they recorded it were like, it was a choir, it was a Christian choir, and so they sang it with different lyrics, and the lyrics didn't make any difference, but it was the intent and the faith behind it that seemed to have made the difference. And it was just a, you know, obviously they buried that study pretty quickly.
Sure.
But no, there is something in very uplifting music. And I mean, you know, Christmas music, I mean, most of my you know, good memories about Christmas is about Christmas hymns as a kid, you know, Little Town of Bethlehem and all this stuff. And that's, that, I mean, that's kind of what Christmas means to me. I mean, yeah, we love gifts and all that, but those type of, you know, that, I don't know, that feel, those songs, those hymns kind of really bring Christmas kind of home into your heart, regardless whether you're living under a bridge or whether you're in a mansion. I mean, there's that type of connection when you hear those notes, when you hear that music. Which...
Well, not only that, but, and of course you have the comedy side of Christmas, you know, Grandma got run over by a reindeer and all that stuff, right? But they don't carry that same weight as, like you say, that those traditional songs, those Christian-leaning songs. Now, do you have any atheist friends who celebrate Christmas?
Well, in terms of celebrate, if you mean they like go buy the, gifts.
Yeah, they go buy they gifts, do. Put up a Christmas
yeah,
tree.
Do it. Do because the, when, you yeah, know, I mean, you have to bring, yeah, that. I mean, you have to... I mean, I actually dislike the term atheist because... That refers to somebody who has no specific belief in the deity or adheres to any of their like teachings or whatever. But
fair enough. Non-Christian. Right. Let's go with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people, even if you describe them as normal, what we can see as atheists, celebrate Christmas. I think you have to be really on the other side of the fence and be very anti Christmas to not celebrate Christmas. But then even when you have those people, if they have kids and they're kind of, you know, I don't want to say normal, but whatever, you know, you want to have your kids, you know, have the same experience as everybody else does.
The kids come back from Christmas break and what are they immediately going to do? Well, what'd you get for Christmas? You don't want your kid to be the one that say, oh, well, my family's weird. We don't celebrate Christmas. And not to say you're weird. I mean, I'm not trying to offend the Jewish population or anything. Got a good friend who's Jewish. And
we love the Jews.
Yeah, absolutely. But there is kind of that part that, oh, you don't celebrate Christmas. Oh, you did Hanukkah. Oh, okay, well, what'd you get for Hanukkah?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, saying, well, we don't do Christmas.
Yeah.
It puts kids in an awkward position.
Do you not think it's an easy cop-out, though, if you're not celebrating Christmas and you put all the weight on Santa, you know, to bring you everything you want? And it's like, sorry, kids, you don't have anything this Christmas.
Yeah.
But hey, it's not mine or mommy's fault.
It's Santa's.
Yeah. So, you know, write him a nasty letter. It's the address. So I've got it off the internet. Just write him a bad thing. Hey, some of your friends got a lot of gifts, but you know why? You don't want to pull that card because then you'll relativity.
Hang on, you're on to something because I just think I figured out
Santa.com.
I think I figured out a way to save a lot of money at Christmas time. If I just don't buy anything for my kids.
Just blame Santa.
And then I can just say, well, you weren't good enough. You must have been on the naughty list. That's why you didn't get anything. They're not going to be mad at me. They're going to be mad at Santa.
Yeah.
That's a win-win.
I know.
I save a bunch of money. They're mad at Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of this a long time ago?
I think this might have been how the Columbine Massacre happened. I don't think...
They went and bought a trench coat. Okay,
if you can't rely on Santa, who can you rely on?
Yeah, all right, fair enough. I won't do it. You know how cheap I am, but... Yeah, not worth the risk. Risk reward.
Anyway, so gifts, right? Now, you and I obviously have had discussions before about what type of gifts your kids expect at Christmas. Now, when you and I were growing up, back in the early 1920s, you know, we were happy with a lump of coal in our stocking. But also, if somebody had made us a wooden toy train, we were happy with that. But nowadays, it seems like people want some electronic microcurrencies for console or phone games.
Yeah. Well, not to mention they also want those consoles you can't find at the store. They want you to go out and try to find that hard-to-find toy that everybody wants that they're going to play with for 2 weeks and then forget about.
I just find it kind of weird that what we used to want for Christmas. Kids just don't want that anymore. I mean, and I'm not talking about just because the toys are different, but, you know, we used to want things where our imagination, I guess, drove the gifts. So if you got a train set, you know, you got like Lego, or you got like, you know, G.I. Joe and stuff, it's because we created, when we got those gifts, this kind of...
Well, they were props.
Yeah, they were, but it was that imagination which drove it. But now they just want a gift card for E-Bucks or V-Bucks and stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, Happy Christmas. I know this is what you wanted, but I'm not entirely sure. I may have, well, just handed you a $20 note. I mean, what?
Yeah, and you're going to blow it on some kind of in-game purchase that you're going to get sick of in a day.
You want to buy a skin on Fortnite for this.
And now you have nothing to show for it 3 months from now, or let's be honest, 3 days from now, because they're going to get sick of it.
But you not think that's the difference, that nowadays kids want to get stuff which other people are doing the imagination for them, whereas when we got gifts, it was about our imagination for us. I mean, it was completely separate.
Give me Star Wars figures. You know, give me a Millennium Falcon so I can take my Han Solo and Chewbacca figure, I can put them in the Millennium Falcon, and I can fly it around, and I can create my own Star Wars movie, and, you know, live out all those things that I loved about Star Wars versus... Yeah. Well, here's some V-Bucks, and now you can buy a Han Solo character for this game and pretend like you're Han Solo in this for 3 days until you want to be, you know, name somebody else, and then you want to buy that skin or whatever, like you were saying, on Fortnite.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, obviously it's a completely different generation and a number of generations differentiated from where we were, but... Yeah, I don't think, well, obviously I can't conceive, that opening a letter with a gift card in it when I was like 8 would have made me that ecstatic.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you would have rather opened that package and had some kind of physical item.
I'd have rather had an ill-fitting t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, give me socks and underwear.
Give me something. Yeah, just don't give me a V-back thing. I mean, where's the... I just don't get the... I guess the reward principle with kids nowadays, and also because they can get these things all the way through the year, I don't know what Christmas is special in terms of the gifts. It's not the gift under the tree, because if you get an envelope or somebody sending you an email, it's not the same as unwrapping a shoebox wrapped in, you know, like this lovely paper and a ribbon and stuff, and you open it all up and you get out something which you might not necessarily want to, but it was nice.
Yeah.
But nowadays, like V-Bucks in a freaking envelope or through an email, I just don't think it's the same experience. Yeah.
And you also don't have that shortly after Christmas when you go visit your friends and say, hey, you know, check out my new shoes. Here's my new jacket. Here's my new Millennium Falcon. Yeah. Here's my new whatever. Hey, come over and play with my train set that I got. It's like, log on to Xbox and look at my skin on Fortnite. Yeah.
Now I've got Assassin's Creed hoodie on.
Yeah, but it must suck to be you because I had that 3 months ago. Right. But I've already moved on from that and I bought this new one. You should get more V-Bucks so you can get this.
Yeah.
That's where we're at now.
Yeah. I mean, that is a good thing because the measure, a lot of the time when we were small
dwarfs, young
midgets, going to school, was that, you know, you used to be able to boast about what you got for Christmas, or you used to tell your friends what you got for Christmas, and you'd listen to what they used to have to say, or listen, you know, whatever. But the point is now, it's like, if everybody's just going in, and it's like, you know, I got some V-Bucks, oh, yeah, I got this, you know, it's like, I don't know, it just seems this negative reward system with kids now that they kind of lose what it means to look forward to something, I think. Because I used to, you know, right from, I mean, my birthday's in September, whatever, but I used to look forward to Christmas. It's like, oh, maybe I'll get this. And it was something physical.
Well, you know, you had your Christmas list.
Yeah.
But you said, you know, I'm going to ask for 10 things.
Yeah.
I wonder which one or two or three or four of these 10 things I'm actually going to get. And you open that gift and you realize, hey, there's a package of socks in here. And it's like, oh, well, that wasn't on my list, but I'm
still right.
I needed socks, whatever. Yeah. And then you open the next one and the next one and the next one. And you have that mental picture of that list in your head of those things that you asked for. And you're like, okay, well, I got this, 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 and this. I didn't get these things. But you know what? At least I got these things and I really wanted those.
Yeah, I think it's too clinical in terms of reward nowadays. Because, I mean, even if, like, you know, I mean, you've got, what was it, like 14 kids?
That I know of.
All right. Well, the point is, I mean, like, even if you take your favorite one, and I know you do have a favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
And you gave them a $9,000 gift card for Xbox Live, right? I know there's a kind of an appreciation, oh, I got this gift and blah, blah, blah. I can go on Xbox Live and buy some stuff. But it's not, it can't be the same thing as when you were young physically getting that train or that GI Joe.
No, it's not.
GI Joe. Yeah, GI Joe. Him. It can't be the same experience, but the point is I can't relate to kids anymore just getting this electronic stuff.
Yeah.
I just, you know, when I had a physical toy in my hand, it meant something to me. You know, I could hold it up, I could feel it, it's tactile, but I just can't understand how they get the
same. Do you also feel like when you got a toy for Christmas versus getting a toy any other time of the year, you almost treated it better?
Yeah, because you looked forward to getting something, and you felt... So,
you know, you said, I got this for Christmas. Yeah. I got this for my birthday. Yeah. Something like that. It you almost took care of it more.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the favorite gift you ever got for Christmas growing up?
Honestly, a lot of that depends on age. Because one of my most memorable gifts that I got.
Memorable, with that accent on the A.
When I was little, I got an R2-D2 toy box. It was just as big as R2-D2, but his head came off, and it was a toy box, and you put all your other toys inside of it. You know, particle board, just R2-D2 had basically a label around it, made it look like R2, had wheels on the bottom. I love that thing. I put all my toys inside it, and I'd roll it around, and I, as a young kid, thought, I've got R2-D2 in my room. I mean, he looked vaguely like R2-D2, but, you know, it wasn't autonomous or anything like that. Still have it today, and I know you've seen it. I still have that stored at my parents' house. I love that thing. Dearly loved that thing and had it in my room forever. Getting a little bit older, I think my favorite Christmas present was probably my Valentine 1 radar detector. When I had just turned 16 and I asked for a Valentine 1 radar detector for Christmas. And I got that that sucker saved me from a lot of tickets.
Right.
Let's be honest. Saved me from a lot of tickets. Years later, got my car broke into and got it stolen. But that thing saved me from a lot of tickets.
Now, you remember back in our time travel episode, my absolutely lame reason for why I would actually like to have time travel. That I would go back in time and accidentally touch my home economic teacher's boob.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that one. Well, my Christmas memory, in terms of best gift, I can't remember how old I was, but it was like an army jeep, and there were like four soldiers in it, but you could crash it into something, and they would all fall out of the jeep, which sounds super lame, right? But I think that was, yeah, I mean, I remember that just being my favorite thing. Yeah. It's just basic tactile you know, yeah. toy, which, you know, had four soldiers in this Jeep, and, you know,
When's the last time you saw that Jeep? It's several years ago?
Last Wednesday, I don't know.
You have it in the car right now.
Yeah, I do. Stoplights.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, it wasn't a super fantastic, you know, gift, but it's just a memory from Christmas. I was delighted to have it. And for days and weeks and months afterwards, I was delighted to have it. And I wanted it for Christmas. You know, my parents got it for me for Christmas and I loved it.
Yeah.
But like I said, if somebody buys, I just can't imagine being a kid now and somebody buying you a Roblox gift card and you're being excited as I was getting that Jeep.
Sure. Well, in going to the way you asked me, I like the RTDT toy box more than I did the Ballantine 1 radar detector.
Right.
I mean, I don't have the Ballantine 1 radar detector anymore. It got stolen. Yeah. I still have the R2-D2 toy box.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that thing. And I just saw it last week. And I'm like, man, I remember just playing with that thing all the time. I mean, that was a staple for me.
And right.
I know my mom has a picture of me, you know, Christmas morning with that thing sitting right next to the Christmas tree because Santa Claus brought that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure my parents probably thought, well, this will, you know, keep the room a little organized. Yeah. He can put stuff in here and now there won't be stuff laying all around. So it worked out, you know, on both sides. But, man, I love that toy box.
Now
that still to this day.
Now that story is giving birth to a weird thought. How bad would it be, like, I know when you and I were growing up, you know, we didn't have, you know, iPhones and all this stuff. But, you know, we were reliant upon, you know, the whole Kodak thing, disposable cameras and everything else. And, you know, so a lot of people our age don't have necessarily that many photos of them when they were young, you know, whereas like with my son, I've already got like about 6,000 photos of him and he's, you know, seven, you know, every time he turns his head in a different direction, it's like, oh, photo moment, I'll take that one and keep it. But imagine the disappointment if that technology was available back when you were growing up and then you suddenly asked your mom, like, okay, can you show me some photos of when I was young? And she only had like about a dozen photos.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you cared that much, did you?
Yeah.
That was it. So you got a dozen photos. So you got one of me when I was born.
Yeah.
One of you when it got me home. The first time I was bitten by a dog.
Yeah.
You know, sixth birthday, a couple of them, and then that's it until I graduate high school.
Yeah. Here's the one where I fell off a horse and broke my arm.
Yeah.
And there's one at the doctor's office when I was getting the cast.
Yeah, so that'd be.
And then there's my graduation photo, which you were so cheap, you didn't actually buy the graduation photo.
You didn't even take the photo. Proof. Somebody forwarded it.
It says proof along the front of it, and you just took a picture of it.
Didn't even remove the watermark. You know that when they send the email, like, you can have this, say, pay this, and just you can remove the watermark. Yep. No, I'm just going to screenshot
it. Well, you know, 100% honest, in my parents' house, there are three pictures of me that are proof photos that have proof stamped through it, like with a little hole punch that my mom has framed because those were the proof photos that she didn't want to buy. But those were good enough, and she just put those in frames.
Now, do you remember that episode of Friends where I think Phoebe met a real mother?
No.
And all the photos in the frames were stock photos.
So let me stop you. No, I don't remember that episode.
They were stock photos.
I do not like that show.
Well, they were stock.
I don't watch that show.
Okay, but they were stock photos. Like her mom was like, "Oh, this is like Auntie Carol and all this." And it's like it was literally all stock
photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've kind of drifted off Christmas life. But
and we never go off topic on this podcast.
I know, it makes it a rarity. Commercialization, which I think is going to be a great spelling word in Words of Friends.
We already went over that, didn't we?
No, we talked about it earlier, remember?
Did we?
Yeah, because I asked you to
maybe
check.
Maybe I need to go back and listen to that memory podcast we did, because, my memory is shot.
No, because remember, I asked you to look if I spelled it correctly.
Yeah.
So commercialization, which at my count has 72 letters in it. Do you think that Christmas is so commercialized that it will never recover to get back to the message of the reason for the season.
Yes. 100% yes.
All right, well, that one's over. All right, yep. So in the age of COVID.
In the age of COVID.
Which we didn't want to bring up. And I know we haven't mentioned COVID in any previous podcasts.
No.
Not even the one on vaccines we didn't mention about
COVID. Yeah, I don't think we did.
Yeah, even the one...
I'd have to go back in time and try and visit that.
Well, on our last podcast about time travel, we know that's not possible. So So anyway, about
COVID. Was that our last podcast? I'm so distracted.
Well, it depends how far you've gone back in time. But anyway,
mm.
COVID Christmas. Fauci, whatever his name is, F-A-U-L-I.
Yeah.
F-A-U-C-I. Fauci. That guy looks like a rat.
No, I like Fauci. Fauci. You gotta throw your lower jaw out when you say his name.
Yeah, I'm just
Fauci.
I'm just gonna go with the guy who looks like a rat. Anyway, he made this statement about him and his wife, if he has one, I haven't seen it yet, they're not going to connect with their kids this Christmas. He said that, you know, it's safer if, you know, they have a distancing Christmas.
Like a Zoom Christmas?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Or any other remote platform.
Right.
Which, if you want to sponsor us to get ahead of Zoom, we will... gladly email us at thewolfandtheshepherd@gmail.com. Anyway, he said, right, that he's not going to see his own kids at Christmas because of COVID. Now, could he not ask them to get tested, or him and his wife get tested, and then just, I don't know, just maybe meet up for Christmas? I don't know.
Because
I feel like this cancel Christmas...
That seems
Christmas
too logical, though.
But this cancel Christmas thing, I mean, that's... It's gone too far. I mean, cancel Thanksgiving, you know what? There are a lot of people who want to avoid a lot of relatives at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and there's been certain
years...
Because
you get the drunken uncle gets in there.
Yeah, I would have liked to have cancelled Thanksgiving for less reasons than a pandemic. But, you know, when it comes to Christmas, when you talk about, yeah, we're not going to meet up with your own kids at Christmas, I mean, are you going to do anything differently this Christmas with your, like, I think, 22 kids? And, you know, your parents live in, like...
Yes, we are.
Straight away, what are you doing differently?
Yes, we are. Because, and see, I'm going to hit you with a curveball because I haven't told you this yet. In the age of COVID that we're in, every year we get together with my wife's sister and her husband and her two kids and our kids and everything, and we do Christmas, we do a little secret Santa where... all the cousins, they exchange names, and they buy them, you know, a present and all that. But, the brother-in-law, the sister-in-law, and the daughter have got the COVID. They've got the COVID, so now they're quarantining. They're saying, nope, can't be around anybody. Y'all can't come over. We're not going to go anywhere. Let's... you know, talk about doing a Zoom thing. Let's talk about this. So this will be the first year that we don't all get together because three of the four have got the COVID. The fourth, magically, doesn't have it. Even though lives in the same house, touches all the same stuff, doesn't wear a mask in the house, nothing. One of those four doesn't have the COVID, but the other three do. So now... we're not going to be able to do that this year.
You're not disappointed, though.
I've got to be honest. I'm okay.
If it was down to you, there'd just be you and three of your kids, not the eldest one, and it'd just be you and the three boys just watching Star Wars movies for Christmas.
Yeah, pretty much.
That'd be it.
And eating good food.
Right, yeah.
Don't leave the food part out.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be it. So, no, don't give me that. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of families that are probably not that annoyed they can't connect with relatives, but I thought that whole cancel Christmas, you know, and this apparent, you know, head or genius of virology?
Let's throw the job. Virology.
Virology, yeah.
Got to throw that bottom
so
job.
Saying, virology. Yeah, so yeah. We really believe he's not going to meet up with his kids Christmas.
No, you know, I kind of feel bad for my brother and sister-in-law. You know, I do like hanging out with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and everything. But if they got to the point where, you know, they tested positive for the COVID and everything, and this is what's going to happen, and now we have to quarantine and we have to do all this. It's like, look, there's ways around this. You know, it's not like we're the type of family that hugs on each other and really gets around each other for that matter. You can figure out a way to still do it in person. You really can. Let's be honest. You don't have to do the remote stuff. You don't have to hide from anybody. We could do it. Now, this is right now. Maybe 24 hours from now this changes, but I just found out this information literally last night. So this is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
At the same time, I will say I'm disappointed in them because they got a cat for Christmas. Yeah.
Is it in the mail?
I don't know. I've seen a picture.
Is that where you got... Actually, you've mentioned this now like at least half a dozen times how much you hate cats. Now, you got something, or your wife got something called, is it a sassy cat or something? Which was like the most expensive cat on the face of the planet.
Yeah. Anybody in
the mail.
Anybody in their right mind... Yeah. Would have gotten this cat for free, but she went to some sassy cat thing and paid through the nose for this cat. Yeah. And yes, I don't like cats.
So have you bought it a Christmas outfit? Because I wanted to get on a little bit about buying pets Christmas outfits.
Outfit, no, but I've heard that the wife did go buy the cat's Christmas presents.
Oh. Which they dressed from you and her, or just from her?
Oh, no, just from her.
Oh, man.
I know.
But that's the thing.
Isn't that depressing?
Well,
it's... I mean, there's children starving around the world, but we buy cats Christmas presents.
Hmm. I don't know.
Just makes you want to jump in front of traffic.
Right, but... Well, I mean, for your cat, for Christmas, I mean... Given it's not got any existentialism, could you not just punch it in the face and say that's from Santa?
I could dress up like Santa.
You could, and then just...
Because cats are dumb. They're not going to know the difference.
Right.
So I could dress up
like
Santa.
Well, we covered that in the podcast about autism. They have no... They disassociate cause and effect. So they're just going to think, hey, it's daddy being mean again. So.
Hang on, let me... give me that pen there. I'm going to make a note of this, of what I'm going to do.
So that's from mommy.
You know what? I shouldn't even write this down. I should actually set a reminder in my phone because I might lose this piece of paper. I'm going to go ahead and do that. So entertain our listeners here while I type this in
my phone. Well, I have some issues with Santa. Now we've got to this point in the podcast.
I'm going to add you to my reminder, by the way, so in case I'm away from my phone, you can text me and remind me to dress up as Santa Claus.
And punch the cat in the face.
Punch the cat in the face. Right. Adding wolf and save.
Well, if we've done nothing else this Christmas, we've told people that violence against domestic pets is acceptable as long as it's in the Christmas spirit.
Yes, that's one way to look at it.
And when I say, if we've done nothing else this Christmas, we haven't done anything else this Christmas. But again, I want to go back to Santa.
Yes, let's get back to Santa.
What was your earliest thoughts on Santa Claus?
I never bought into it.
What, even when you were like three or four?
Never bought into it.
So, hey, fatty, go away. Now, I know you're colorblind, so I know the whole red thing. Do you see red?
I do. I do.
Like
I know
Santa
wears
red.
Or
does he look like it's dripped in blood? I mean, what type of red do you see?
I know Santa's wearing a red suit, but I never bought into Santa Claus that much. It just never made sense. Because I, as a young kid, I didn't like the whole sit on Santa's lap and tell Santa what I wanted for Christmas. Didn't like writing a letter to Santa Claus. I just always told my parents what I wanted, and it magically happened. And, you know, when I was kind of young, I'm like, well, hang on a second. You know, whenever I'm out of school, my parents didn't really care how late I stayed up, but man, they really cared on Christmas Eve. So, you know, I put two and two together, you know, a long time ago, and just kind of floated along almost for my parents of, yeah, I still believe in Santa Claus and all that stuff, just to kind of keep them happy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, which let's be honest, you always want your kid to be not the first one that figures out about Santa Claus, but definitely not the last one.
Right.
It's got to be somewhere in between. And man, that in between,
you don't
want to
be the asshole
tricky.
And you don't want to be the idiot.
Yeah, yeah. That in between is so tricky, yeah. Especially nowadays.
Now, I know your dad pretty well, and I think you would have, if he could have gotten away with like passing blame on Santa Claus, I think he would have done it. Like, if you'd have wanted,
absolutely.
If you'd have wanted something specific for Christmas, and it'd be like, yeah, Santa Claus didn't come through.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, he would have. Yeah. And he would have probably put a political spin on it, too. Because Santa voted a certain way, and that's why this didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to end with, which isn't the typical way you end on Christmas podcasts, I've always been slightly infatuated or attracted to females wearing nice Miss Santa Claus outfits.
There's absolutely nothing
wrong
with that.
Why is that? Why do you think that is, though? I mean, from a, you know, I know you have absolutely no qualifications whatsoever in terms of, you know, psychology, but why would you say that a lovely looking lady in a Santa outfit arises my interest?
Well, because she is there to give you what you want.
Well, no, she's not, is she?
Why wouldn't she be?
What does Santa do?
Yeah, but
she's married to Fatty. You can travel like fast and speed of light.
No, okay, so you're confusing me a little bit. You're not talking about really Mrs. Claus.
Yeah,
you're talking about a woman that is dressed up kind of like Mrs. Claus, but isn't trying to represent Mrs. Claus.
I'm not going on Craigslist. I'm talking about...
Are you though?
No, not for that.
Oh.
No, I'm talking about... I don't know what it is about women dressed in... not scantily necessarily, but in nice, well, all right, yeah, is that. But,
yeah.
You know, Santa Claus outfits, what does that trigger in your brain? What gap is there maybe in your psyche or whatever that makes you think, I mean, just like the whole naughtiness and everything else and blah, blah, blah. Why is Mrs. Santa Claus getting drug into this?
Well, I guess it's the same reason why you have the Halloween outfits. You know, you've got the naughty nurse, you've got the naughty cop, you've got the naughty firefighter, you got all of that stuff. And then you got Christmas time where it's like, okay, you've only got like two or three things to kind of dress up as. You can be a Mrs. Claus, you can be a snowman, you can be a reindeer. And
I've never seen a sexy snowman, to be honest with you. Or snow woman.
You're searching the wrong sites.
Oh,
yeah. But you left out one thing with Christmas that we got to talk about. And this, and I know you wanted to end on the Mrs. Claus, but yeah. I want to end on something else.
Okay.
I have a serious problem with the elf on the shelf.
Yeah.
I look back to our back in time episode, our time travel episode, and you'd ask me, you know, what would you change?
Was that before or after the Outsiders?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But I hate the Elf on the Shelf.
Oh,
I hate reading the book every year. I hate moving that elf every night. I hate the posts on Facebook of, oh, look what our elf did and all that. I hate the Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah.
So I would like to congratulate Canadians.
Whoever came out
because,
with it,
no, no, because I did hate Canadians, but now I need y'all to know I hate the Elf on the Shelf more than Canadians and Cats.
Oh, wow.
Canadians and Cats, second, third place, still undetermined, but Elf on the Shelf, I cannot wait until my youngest is too old for that, because I do not like that thing. That is the worst newer Christmas tradition that is anybody's came up with. I'm sorry. I just do not like the Elf on the Shelf.
I just want to make a comment at this point, because the Shepherd has mentioned this in, I think, at least four or five podcasts now. I actually quite like a lot of Canadians, mainly the ones who play ice hockey.
Yeah, I like Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, we like ice hockey.
I like ice hockey.
We like ice hockey.
I like maple syrup.
Yeah. I think the ones we don't like...
And that's pretty much it.
The kind of nondescript kind of ones, you know. Just the ones who don't really have any purpose. Because, well, let's be honest, if you're not involved in the process of making maple syrup, if you're not playing ice hockey and you're not a Mountie, then what are you doing in Canada?
Well, but really, you're going to put Mounties in this? I'm going to leave them out. If you don't play hockey and you don't make maple syrup, I don't really have a use for you.
Well, let's put the Mounties in there because they do something.
What? Ride around on moose and write speeding tickets for people riding reindeers?
That's all right.
Okay. Well, fine. I'll concede Mounties.
All right.
So they're the only ones that get a pass.
All right. Okay. So it's not a complete blanket of Canada. It's just the people who don't play ice hockey.
Right.
Make the maple syrup.
Yep.
They aren't Mounties.
Yep.
And they just...
No, don't sneak another one in. No, I gave you the Mounties.
No, I'm saying that. And so that's pretty much it.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I agree.
Well, I just wanted to get to that point. So anyway, we would love to wish all of our listeners a... very Merry Christmas. If you're an atheist, just suck it up, buttercup. You know,
yep.
don't get offended by somebody wishing you good stuff. Because, you know, somebody told me Happy Hanukkah, somebody told me Happy Kwanzaa, I won't be like, ooh. It's like, just suck it up. If somebody wishes you well, suck it up.
Yep.
Yep.
No, I agree. And especially with the intent behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and same goes with me. You know, if you wish me some holiday that I don't believe in, like Valentine's Day, if somebody says Happy Valentine's Day to me, I don't get mad.
Right.
I don't like Valentine's Day. God, I feel a future podcast episode coming.
I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait for that podcast.
You know, I feel
9 hours special.
We're going to have to take at least 2 breaks during that one.
I think
just to get up to go to the bathroom.
I think on that podcast we have to bring in a woman. A natural woman. Not that I'm against all this identification, but
right.
We need to bring in a
have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome.
Yeah,
a
biological
I agree.
Even
with
if
you
she's angry, I mean, I just think we should bring one in.
Ooh, what about a feminist on Valentine's Day?
Ooh,
that might be fun.
Yeah, as long as she's
As long as she's
as long as she can prove what she
makes sense. Anyway, well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for all the support. We certainly appreciate it, and we will catch y'all on the next one.